that's five petitions of the Our Father. Our so many requests for divine assistance. Each request has one identifiable purpose. And the five together form a remarkable unity. It is a unity of recognizing our desperate human needs in the Almighty God. Manage these needs, the glory of His own majesty and our own salvation. We keep in mind ourselves. We are in this world only a very short time. Our destiny is heaven. But we cannot get to heaven without God's grace. Obtain His grace, we must pray. Prayer, grace, and heaven are the trilogy on which our salvation depends. We continue. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In this petition, laying on our own free, very free will. So free is it, we can even choose what is contrary to the will of God. We also recognize the free will of God. None of us would exist unless God had freely marked out me with His divine choice, chosen us to come into existence. He finally recognized the only one duty on earth. Only one. To recognize our minds and choose our wills to do the will of God. That's all. But why the strange comparison? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, what an unusual petition. The will of God may be done on earth by us mortals, as it is done in heaven by the saints and the angels who have earned a heavenly destiny. No angel in heaven except because he chose to do God's will. No saint is in heaven. Everyone in heaven is a saint. Oh, dear God, what is our ambition? What should be our desire in this world? To become saints. That, believe me, is not a figure of speech. We ask that the will of God may be done on earth by us mortals, and done in heaven by the immortal angels and saints, each of whom has earned heaven. Let's be clear. Our own free will alone is not enough to have us in the heaven. We need grace. Without grace, no one reaches the heavenly destiny. There is, of course, a very clear your presupposition. We presume that not all people on earth are doing the will of God. What a safe statement. We further presume that they should be doing the will of God. But why not? One reason is because our freedom is the awful power we have. Can you imagine to resist the will of the Almighty? As I've said before, the Philadelphia State University for 5 years. I've taught for some 12 years at a partisan seminary. The bottom line is recognize we have a free will, so free, so awfully free, we can choose. We say it once more, we can choose to go to hell. Another reason is that we constantly need the help of God's grace, both ways, for the mind to know what does God want, for the will, the strength to do it. Our minds by themselves are unable to recognize God's will. Our wills by themselves are unable to choose to do God's will. Anyone who has reached the age of reason cannot, the word is cannot, reach heaven without prayer. This is our focus here. We're asking God for light for the mind and courage for the will to know what is God's will for me, and then hard is to choose it. No two of us have the same duty before God. We turn to the comparison expressed in the petition. What exactly are we praying for? What a strange petition. We are praying with God's help. May daily come close to doing God's will, know on earth, the saints, the blessed are doing in heaven. Alas, we pray to do God's will as the saints are doing it in heaven. We shall never reach heaven ourselves. Three students. In heaven, everyone is doing the will of God. Well, let's be clear. Not every human being reaches heaven. In heaven, everyone enjoys. So he enjoys doing what God wants. What a contrast between heaven and earth. On earth for so many people, what they want, that's what gives them joy. Be said, we must pay pay dearly to do God's will. And in order to do God's will, we must have the strength only God can provide to do what He wants us to do. Well, we ask, is everybody in heaven doing God's will? Everyone in heaven is doing God's will generously, selflessly, cooperatively with others, constantly, without any envy or any jealousy, and with total sincerity. Immortal human beings, speedy immortals, in a very short time, shorter than any of us expects, shall be called to our destiny. The destiny that God wants us to attain is heaven. The destiny, we must say this, that many will reach is hell. Of course, we include ourselves in this plan. We know how passionately I have chosen Adam deliberately, how passionately wedded we are to our own will. What grace we need find a foretaste of heaven here on earth by doing the will of God. Before we go on, I have once more imagined the saints, again, St. Augustine. I would like to call St. Augustine. 4 years, a passionate sinner. He was converted. There may be an exception in the chapel today, but most of us had to be converted. And the Master of St. Augustine, it is certain that we keep the commandments of God if we so will it. Because the will is prepared by the Lord, we must ask Him for such a force of will as enables us to make an act of willing. Is absolutely certain is we who will, when we will, but is only He who enables us to will what is good, who is God. We're always making choices. Choices. That's why a young child has looked after every moment of the day. We continue. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. How much is contained in this petition? We ask for daily bread. Yes, mercy. Mercy on our souls. But hear it only in the measure that we impart his mercy toward others. The more people offend us, the more they hurt us, the more mean people are toward us, the more selfish they are. Thank God, our mercy towards them, God will show mercy to us. Hear it. We need offensive people. We need unkind people in our lives. We need people who offend us, who hurt us, who are nasty, mean, even cruel. We need that because God's mercy towards us depends, whatever, depends on the mercy we show toward those who hurt us, who offend us. All years I've given conferences to both men and women, husbands and wives. And for the wives, you must be patient with your husbands. To the husbands, you must be patient with your wife. There may be exceptions. If there are, I don't know them. I don't know of any exception. And even the most blessed and happy marriage, the wife offends the husband, and the husband hurts the wife. We continue. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. These two petitions are closely related. We are in effect asking for two kinds of substance. Substance for ourselves personally. Substance for ourselves as members of the human family. What do we mean when we pray, I would say, for personal substance? If we are faced with a question, is the Lord's Prayer literally asking for physical bread for the body? The answer is a shouting yes. I hope many of you, have traveled to poor countries, especially in Asia. The population of India, I believe, is about 1 billion people. Only God knows. I would estimate if 100,000, maybe 200,000 people in India have always enough to eat what you want every day. You will never read in the daily papers millions in one country, millions of people die in India every year from sheer starvation. My 6 monthly stays in India, he has taught me a great deal. One of the truths I've learned is that India is a very, very impoverished country. Impoverished by whom? Impoverished by the wealthy. There are those in India who have all they want to eat. And I sincerely believe most of India goes to bed hungry every night. We've had mentioned this before. 4 blocks I walked where I lived, how the missionaries of charity who I was giving talks to, a dozen, more than a dozen youngsters, young children, would wait at the door waiting for me. Here their tummies. How is warm? Their stomachs. Empty. Asking for food. I repeat what I've said before. Most of the human race goes to bed hungry every night. I'll ask a strange question. How many of you have ever traveled outside of North America to Europe? First of all, to Europe. Good. How many of you have traveled to Asia? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have to say this. The wealth and prosperity of nations like our own is in large measure due to the starvation of millions in Asia. I will not talk for hours about the selfishness. What a cheap word. The selfish pride of countries like our own. Most Americans don't even know that most of the people of Asia go to bed hungry every night. The lifespan of people of Asia is way below the lifespan of the average American. I continue. Those in affluent countries like our own may think of this prayer for bread as either out of touch with reality or really symbolic. Oh no, it's very real. And hunger, even famine, among millions of starving people throughout the world. I hope you hear this again in a sermon or homily that you hear the years to come. And they were begging God from the hearts of those wealthy material possessions to share with those lacking even the bare necessities of life. Next area of reflection, spiritual punishment. Sin on the personal plane, in need of more than just bread from the body. Saint Pius X restored early and frequent, according to you, to the church, declared that the primary bread for which we pray the Our Father is the daily sustenance, in the word, daily sustenance through the Eucharist. I want, I plead, I pray, I ask God to inspire every one of you to receive Holy Communion every day. That may mean changing your schedule, may change the time of getting up. So on. In the early church, the faithful assistant of Mass received Holy Communion every day. The age of martyrs was the age of daily communicants. They believed they needed it. In daily Mass, in reception of Christ, in the Eucharist, to remain faithful to their Catholic belief in spite of the widespread pagans all around them, because to be a Christian, a believing Catholic, in the first 3 centuries, meant to expect death. I say this with complete conviction. The same is true today, except is not body death, but spiritual death for the soul. I've said this, I'm sure, to many of you. You're now living in the age of martyrs. More men, more women, more children have shed their blood from 1900 to the year 2000, and all the previous 19 centuries put together. Maybe what I've said before, what blind fool we can be. We, more than anyone else in Christian history, need the daily reception of the body of Christ to keep us alive in the grace of God. Whatever you forget from this retreat, in God's name, not forget this. God wants every one of you, every one of you, once more, every one of you, to receive Holy Communion every day from today on to the end of your life. another subtitle, Preservation and Progress in Human Society. We not only associate more giving or more spiritual love and benefiting human society, but be sure this is happening to be the fifth petition, the Lord's Prayer. We are surely praying for God's mercy. We're asking to be merciful to us as we are merciful to those who sin against us. Thank God for the offensive people in your lives. We need them. I repeat, we need to be heard. We need to be spoken of, spoken about, spoken to unkindly, even cruelly. And the hardest is to accept patiently the unkind words of someone we deeply and dearly love. I think I can say it. I entered the Society of Jesus in 1936. This coming September the 1st will be 64 years I've been in the Society of Jesus. Body with the Jesuits of the United States, in Canada, in Mexico, in Europe, in Asia. Over these years, only God knows how many ways and how many times I've been spoken to, acted towards, unkindly, unmercifully, by my own brother. How we need, I repeat for the third time, how we need to have offensive people enter our lives. We need them. Why? Because we have mercy toward those who offend us. We are sure of obtaining mercy from God. We're begging God for charity. To forgive those who might have deeply offended us. Amen. He's advised that on some occasion your wife will make a pro your wives have not spoken or acted unkindly toward you. If they have, thank God. We obtain mercy from God in the measure and degree of imparting mercy toward those who are unkind, unjust, even cruel toward us. I can tell you, I've experienced my share. And I thank God. Well, that's not all. We're also asking God to give us a share in His own understanding Oh, this needs to be said. In his own understanding of the world, in using sinners for the advancement of his kingdom, this does not mean ignore the weakness or sinfulness of people. It does mean rely on God's wisdom and the power that only he can give us. I am sure some of us, perhaps many of us, have been deeply, profoundly, not just hurt, but damaged in our reputation. It for a lifetime of the words and the behavior of the people. We need to be offended. We need to be carefully seen to be heard. God enables us to see the good in others. And draw on his goodness for the progress and not just preservation of human society as a pattern to the heavenly society for which we were made. Thank God for being offended. Thank God for the injustice, the cruelty that people have practiced toward you. I know what I'm talking about. It's not just injustice or cruelty that lasted maybe a minute or two that somebody spoke or said something unkind or unjust towards us. The cruelty may be still with us after years of having someone we love withdraw his or her love from our lives. This, I repeat, this is the condition of reaching heaven. We need, I repeat, must be the fifth time. We need offensive people in our lives, but their offenses against us, our mercy towards them, we obtain mercy for ourselves. Now a quotation from St. Augustine again. There are, St. Augustine says, many kinds of alms, the giving of which helps us to obtain pardon for our sins. But none is greater than that by which we forgive our heart a sin that someone has committed against us. How we sinners need God's mercy. Now the surest way of obtaining mercy from God is by the practice of a lifelong mercy toward those who have deeply, profoundly, not just hurt, but probably harmed us. We continue with the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. These closing petitions of the Lord's Prayer touch each one of us individually. You're all subject to temptation. We all need to be delivered from evil. benefit from temptations. Does God want us to be tempted? He sure does. But God is all good. Yes, He is. Trouble with our language is the word temptation is ambiguous. Literally, tentare in Latin means to be tested or tried. In this sense, even Christ was tempted. Not that He might be tested for the good of His Father, but He might endure the humiliation, be tried by the evil spirit, who, as you know, was not sure that Jesus was what He claimed to be, the incarnate God. That's why the church teaches the devil tempted Christ. But unlike Christ, our temptations are so many tests for which we prove our loyalty to God. Unlike Jesus Christ, we are tempted. This needs to be said, not only from the outside of the world and the devil, but also, how true this is, you're also tempted from the inside by the simple drives we commonly call by the big word concupiscence, is the result of original sin. Every one of us is daily tempted to sin. We ask, not be delivered from all temptations. We ask to be strong in resisting not just the word of the devil, but our own sinful selves. Hear it. Every sin we have committed leaves us with strong temptations in the direction in which we have sinned. In God's providence, temptation is part of God's providence. God wants us, what a verb, God wants us to be tempted. Not that we might sin, but with blasphemy, but to strengthen our commitment to Jesus Christ. What then are we asking for? Not to give any temptation. I'm asking especially for two cardinal virtues. The virtue of prudence and the virtue of fortitude. How we need both. Prudence for the mind, fortitude for the will. Why do we need prudence? We need prudence so as to know what we are to avoid in our lives, not to expose ourselves recklessly and needlessly like fools into temptation. Is not just a homily, not a lecture in class, is a retreat, is all pray every day for clearer and deeper. deeper virtue in the mind of prudence. We need prudence to foresee the occasion of sin. There are books we should not read. You know, I say it. They're part of the newspaper we should pass by. I've been ordained, I believe, 52 years. I make it 53 years. It's coming June the 18th. How we need prudence to avoid what by now we've all lived long enough is an occasion to sin. The job you might see you have is well paid. So what? You must choose. Can we choose the people with whom we associate? Read dinner now. Read everything readable. Over 50 years in the priesthood. I think I've counted it. I've read the daily paper the last 50 years. I believe 6 times. Our daily papers are strong, violent, shall I say it, demonic temptations to sin. There are pages we should not read. Father, you're telling us not to read the daily paper? What I'm telling you is anyone who reads the daily paper from cover to cover daily will not remain in the grace of God. We're talking about the virtue of prudence in the mind. We need prudence to anticipate how to cope with unavoidable temptations, how to cope with unavoidable temptations. Having finished my own studies in theology in Europe, I taught my judges in their theology. I've told them, in God's name, as priests or future priests, teach the people to practice the virtue of prudence. And everything readable should be read. And everything seeable should be looked at. And everything hearable should be listened to. Oh, dear God, only the fourth time I'm saying it, what fools we can be. How we need the prudence to be armed with supernatural wisdom to draw closer to God through the temptations to which we all constantly expose every day. This meditation will last a full hour. Beyond prudence, we need fortitude. Fortitude to hold the satisfaction which a temptation promises to give us and endure the pain of the suffering which a temptation claims we shall be spared. Fortitude to prepare ourselves to persevere in the good work is by the temptation to give up. I know only a few of you personally. I'm sure many, perhaps most of you, are married. United States has more divorces per capita than any other country in the world. I've asked before, pray for bishops, pray for bishops. The declaration of nullity that so many bishops have given to valid marriages, only God knows. Once more, pray for mercy for bishops. How we need fortitude. Accept the opportunity of being assimilated to Christ, allowing himself to be tempted by the devil. One more petition, the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil. We all know we should know what evil is in general. Evil is anything contrary to our will. It is contrary to the divine will we call the moral evil, or sin. It is contrary to the creator will we call it physical evil, or pain. In the closing petition of the Lord's Prayer, hear it. They're asking God to deliver us from both forms of evil, but in different ways. We ask absolutely to be delivered from the evil of sin. Now, the fruit of this retreat, I plead with God to make all of us less sinners, less sinful than we had been before we took this retreat. And may our Lord, I mean this, deliver us from ever shall I see again in the immortal sin. If need be, take us from life, rather than ever again sin mortally. He also has God to deliver us from venial sin. And Lord, we are praying to become more and more sinless as we approach the threshold of eternity. More than most of you, I'm closer to eternity than most of you. My secret is to live always as though today will be the last day of my life. We also ask our Lord to deliver us from physical evil or pain. and on one condition. And the pain would not draw us closer to God. Or might in fact the pain be spiritually harmful? Let me be as plain as I can. Pain can be spiritually profitable. Pain can be spiritually beneficial. Pain can be the condition for reaching heaven. What evil? Ask God delivered from absurdity. The evil of eternal damnation or hell. Over the years, I've spoken and written extensively on the Lord's Prayer. One thing we beg of on bended knees, dear Lord, spare me, protect me from the evil of the hell. Now, in maxim, I have several saints when it's 4 o'clock. We just read one quotation from one saint. This is from Saint Ignatius. The more desperate things seem to be, the more we must hope in God. Our human efforts fail. There before us awaits the divine grace of God. Pray daily, dear God, protect me, deliver me from the one evil that would damn me to hell. Pray never, never, never again to offend God mortally. The one evil we should feel absolutely, the fear, the dread of ever committing a mortal sin until God calls us into eternity. Amen. In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.